Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hey everybody, welcome to the ANN After Show. It's Lizzie Loveridge and James Beckett and Jackie with her tea.
Yeah, I'm actually drinking chicken soup. I'm starting to feel something in my throat. I'm like,
It's going around everywhere.
I know. Actually, my roommate like messaged me a couple days ago and she's like, oh, by the way, I have strep. And I was like,
don't come in here.
Yeah, I was like, by the way, I have strep. You know what I mean? Like, don't, yeah, exactly. I was like, so please don't leave.
I had a bunch of people at my other job out with huge,
I was like, let's just limit contact as much as we can. Though, James, you work at a school, and I'm just like, you guys don't really have an option. You're just like, all right,
well, he's on,
I mean, at least we have at least like developed the immune systems of superheroes.
That's true. Like
one superpower is that we could like lick a petri dish and probably be fine.
Did you say lick a petri dish?
Yeah, you know, just for science and all that. The science does.
No, let's.
I'm an English major, so I don't know.
All right.
By the way, though, the two shows we're talking about, really good episodes. So I'm excited.
Really good episodes this week. Yeah. Yes, we're going
to
be.
Nothing happened in Akiba Maid War. It was kind of like a low key.
God, such a good episode of Akiba Maid War.
I didn't watch the last
one. I cried a little bit, but I cried everything. So.
Yeah, we're always here making Jackie cry with new anime episodes.
So what's our news stories?
Oh, so we've got four news stories, and I have exciting news to go along with those news stories. Or maybe it's exciting only to me. I tested it on James before he got here, so we did do a little bit of science. But hey, StreamYard's going to let me stream videos to you now with audio. So I can just stream stuff from YouTube now, and it'll have the audio from the video. And
when did that happen?
Probably within the last month. I noticed the feature recently and was like, hey, I want to test that. So maybe we can use it for the trailer watch party, which will have me and James and Jackie and Jeff Thew from Mother's Basement. That's going to be on the 28th, which is a Wednesday, at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. We're going to watch all the trailers for the upcoming winter 2023 season, which will also kick off on the 4th of January. That's when Preview Guide is launching. So this time, James gets to watch all the trailers before he has to review all the shows.
Woo! And they have like six premiere days in a row or something like that.
They're stupid. I believe there's eight shows on like one day and eight shows on the following day. I think it's a Saturday Sunday situation where there's eight shows each day.
So this season, I forgot which season it was. It was the season before. I think it was the season before this one. I'm pretty sure. And it was terrible. Like, I didn't like one show. I was like, okay. And then this last season has had so many good shows, and they got my concussion, and I've only been able to really watch the two that we're watching for this. So like, I have to catch up on Mob Psycho. I got to catch up on My Hero. You guys were saying that Witch Mercury one's really good.
I need to catch up on Witch Mercury too.
Yeah, it was a super enjoyable trailer party because it was like, I think my list, I was like, had 20 down that I was interested in.
Yeah.
Whereas the season before, I think it was the season before that, it was literally like idol anime and like DIY anime or something. And I was
DIY just, was still last season as well. And that ended up being pretty good, you know, as like a low key show about girls into carpentry and stuff, but like
not my cup of tea.
Yeah. But there was
on record for her favorite anime of last season was Birdie Wing. So
that was back all the way back in January. And we're not talking about,
wait, that was January.
Yeah, Birdie Wing was that is wild.
Yes, it
was no.
That's how long you guys have been obsessed with that show. Okay, we've been hassling Jackie about Birdie Wing for almost a year.
I can already is Lost Thief in here because he's gonna say some commentary about Birdie Wing.
I haven't seen him yet. No.
Okay. Well,
so
I'm waiting.
Yeah, we've got a lot of shows coming up on for the trailer watch party on the 28th, and then on the 30th we're doing a best of 2022. Podcast with a bunch of our reviewers, James included, and I've got RSVPs from Caitlin Moore and Mr. AJ Cosplay. So we'll just see, you know, we're just going to go over the very best, like no one ever was. Speaking of
transition,
I'm getting good at this. All right. So our first news story is a heartbreaker for all of you who've been watching Pokemon for over 20 years. Ash is retiring, quote unquote, at least from the anime. Seems like they're finally putting good old boy out to pasture and bringing in some
take him back behind a shed.
Bringing out some new protagonists.
Poor Ash.
Poor Ash. Hey, he got, you know, spoilers. If you're only watching Pokemon on Netflix, then officially don't listen to anything I'm about to say. But he got to accomplish his main goal in the latest season. So everyone had already been wondering if they were going to, you know, now that he's finally won. After, you know, he famously lost in Indigo League.
You just spoiled.
Yeah, sorry.
I mean, that was like the biggest news.
We knew it was coming. He had to finally win.
So now that he's finally won, they're going to do a special 11 episodes to kind of wrap up his journey. And then they're bringing out two new protagonists. And this new series is going to premiere in April. So without further ado, I'm going to start the little video trailer we've got here and show you guys the new amazing thing I'm really excited about that StreamYard is going to let me do. So if I do this and then I do this, you should be able to hear it. I'm keeping it kind of low so that you can...
You don't want to hear Pikachu squeaking?
Well, it's in Japanese anyway, and now, hey, I can show you soft subtitles, which is something I wasn't able to do with videos before. It had to have hard subs or it didn't work. But yeah, this is...
You went on up in the world.
Yeah, thanks, StreamYard. But, oh God, see, just seeing this gave me nostalgia because, I mean, I watched Indigo League as it aired on WB with my brother when I was like 12-ish, I think. He was 3 years younger than me.
I still have, I think, the Brushfire starter deck that I bought at the Olympia Mall in Washington in like 1990, whatever.
But Misty's back. She's got her Psyduck. There's Brock. Maybe hey, is he going to get a girlfriend? I don't know. I think he, you know, deserves happiness. By this point, let Brock have a girlfriend, right?
Oh my God.
I, for one, am Brock glad that Ash is finally going to be free of his nightmarish infinite time.
he'll
finally get to have his 11th birthday.
Yeah, right.
I'm pretty sure he's our age. I think he was born in 87.
Ash?
Yeah, so Ash is supposed to be our age.
Oh my God.
Which is
upsetting.
Yeah.
No lie, I would watch the hell out of like a disillusioned, grumpy, like mid-30s Ash Ketchum.
Love that.
Yeah.
They should make it so he's not going to be like a gym leader or anything. He's just like, gone.
I don't know. They've got 11 whole episodes to tell us where he ends up at. Are there some like big Pokemon fans in the chat who can tell us the youngest gym leader? Like, is there an age cap? Like, you know, you have to be 35 to be president.
Been at least one like little girl. Like,
has there?
I seem Maybe. To recall. Like a precocious little girl who's like, I'm going to beat you with my Bidoof.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
There's so many gym leaders at this point that I really don't know. But yeah, it's just sort of like the end of an era at this point to see Ash moving on with his Pikachu. And what are Jesse and James going to do now that they're not after that
How
Pikachu
old are Jesse
anymore?
And James? Jesse and James got to be like 50 now.
Yeah. Gonna be like our parents' age or something, right? I mean,
or maybe a little younger than our parents. They're probably like in their late 40s.
Because what if we're being super generous? Because I know Jesse,
they were probably in their early 20s when Ash was like 12, right? Yeah, I agree with that. So they're probably 7 years older than us. So then what does that make them, like 42-ish?
I mean, if you want to just say that on air,
sorry,
that would make them 30.
Yeah, it'd make them 30.
Yeah,
30.
Yeah, obviously. Old. They're 7 years older than Lindsay and I. Obviously, 30. Just plus 30.
Yeah.
Just,
So
next story.
Yeah, not sure when that one will hit for us in English. There's been usually a month or so, several month delay between the Netflix drop and the Japanese airing. So it could be a while. But hey, the next one that involves a video, let's just go straight to that, is Jujutsu Kaisen. Second season, we finally got a release date for that. It's July, so wait until summer. I mean, MAPPA's working their asses off on everything. So
they got to finish Attack on Titan first.
They've got to finish Vinland Saga. They've got to finish,
Like, is it just me, or is it like share the love? Though I love MAPPA, and I'm like, they're great at everything, so I guess that's why we want them on everything, right?
Yeah, and I think, I don't know how big their studio is. And I think that's sort of a mystery for most people. We see that they're working on all this stuff, but like, how many employees do they have? How many like studios do they have
occupied? I don't know.
I don't think it's like just 30 people doing this, like everything, you know, but
yeah.
So we've got a little character trailer for the second season that'll be opening in July or premiering in July. Excited for this. If you've seen Jujutsu Kaisen Zero, the movie, a lot of what you're about to see ties into that. So the second season looks like it'll be directly related to the backstory we got in Jujutsu Kaisen Zero.
Yeah.
Let's just say that I love that they managed to take the pilot manga and like, work it into the canon of the main story.
That's really cool. It's like the backstory, because that's, yeah, you guys should recognize who we've just seen. That's
Gojo, and then what's his name? Is it Gen?
I forget. It's Ge. It starts with a Ge sound.
Yeah, right? He's hot. Like, I don't know. Everyone's simping over, what do you call it, Kendo and Gojo. I'm like, that villain was, he's a good looking dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that little girl is new, I think, the blue.
Yeah, I think she'll be new. She's probably from there. Well, maybe we've seen the older version of her. I'm not.
Oh!
Jujutsu
Kaisen. Yeah. Because everything we're seeing there is like Gojo and him during high school. But this is going to cover the. This is going to cover two arcs. It's the guy. Kaigyoku, Gyokuketsu arc, and the Shibuya incident arc. And the Shibuya incident arc is a pretty big deal.
I've been hearing the name of that arc for forever.
Yeah, me so too. I was just thinking that. Yeah.
I think it takes off.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have not read ahead in the Jujutsu Kaisen manga at all. So this is all completely new stuff for me. I can't really like speculate, like, what are we going to see? Because I don't know what happens during those arcs in the manga. But. Yeah, still excited for that. 2023 is already shaping up to have some good stuff. This was part of a bunch of larger announcements that you can read about on Anime News Network that came out of Jump Festa, which basically just gave us a whole bunch of announcements of everything that all the properties that run in Shonen Jump. So we're going to do two more of these, but if you want, you know, everything, I recommend, you know, heading over to Anime News Network to read on that. One that James sent that we can talk about real quick is Blue Exorcist is finally getting a new TV anime. I feel this was on Toonami at one point, the first season. And I'm a while ago.
Yeah.
Like a while ago. And this is one of those ones where I always felt like this could have been bigger if they had lined up this successive seasons better, because there was a huge break between this and the Kyoto arc. Kyoto arc came out in 2017, but the first season was 2017. But the first episode ran for the first season ran for 25 episodes, but that was 2011. So they didn't get a second season until over 5 years later. And now,
half of that first season is like non-canon anime original stuff too.
Oh, is it really? I didn't know that.
Like it's like after episode 15, it's all completely original, and then the next season just completely ignores it. So it's very confusing.
Yeah. Jackie, I don't know if you've watched this. I never really watched it. I just kind of know it about it via osmosis, but like the short of it is this boy is Rin Okumura is raised by Father Fujimoto. He's never known who his real father is. Spoiler, it's Satan. So he's So, you know, he's got demon lord Satan blood in him, which makes him super powerful, and he's going to become an exorcist. He's got his older brother. He's got a brother as well, but I don't think his brother was sired by Satan. So I don't think they have the same dad.
Yeah, they've got a whole thing going.
There's a whole family drama going on there in it. So, you know, he gets, you know, little blue flames and stuff, and like the animation effects were always really cool, but it just, like I said, each season has been like almost more than 5 years since the last one. The manga is still running and does well. It's got 28 volumes. Mm. So if you're into it, like there's a lot of it, but yeah. Mm.
Yeah, I feel like Blue Exorcist, like you were saying, that's one of those shows where if it came out more regularly, I really think it could be one of the kind of shonen contenders. I think it's a really underrated series, but
yeah,
you get one season every 5 years, and that's what's gonna happen.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, I remember that, and I watched that anime a long time ago, and I thought it was like, all right, like I remember I watched it pretty passionately. Like I wasn't like, oh, I'm over this, and I was like, oh, I want to finish this, you know. The finale, I remember being like kind of throwing me off and being a little bit weird, but I do remember liking the brothers dynamic. I don't even really remember what it was, but it was kind of like competitive, but then kind of like they had to work together too, and they're very different personalities.
Yeah, they do have very different personalities. Like I think Rin is the more hot-headed one, and I think the other brother is like more sensible.
It's like the anime version of glasses up.
The older one has glasses.
So I remember being like, I remember it kind of going off the rails in the finale, though. Like, I remember really enjoying it.
There's a movie, like, too, but again, like, haven't seen it. Don't know.
I wonder, like, y'all might know this better than me, but, like, these studios, when they have these big breaks like this, like, I remember Log Horizon had a really big break, too, and, like, Log Horizon was huge, and I feel like that big break really hurt it as well. It's like...
Well, the guy got arrested for tax evasion. I think that had more to do.
I was like, well, what happened with the studio? Oh,
it wasn't the studio. It was the writer. Blue Exorcist
scandal, right?
What's that? Blue Exorcist. No scandals related to Blue Exorcist that I'm aware of. No, I think
so.
Yeah, I think that one's still clean. I think we're still good there.
I think that one's more of a timing issue, which if you go read I did an interview with the president of WIT Studio, George Wada, recently. And I asked him, now Blue Exorcist, not a WIT Studio production, but this could be comparable in some ways. I asked him, so why are all the other studios doing your sequels? Like, why is MAPPA doing Vinland Saga and Studio Kafka's doing Ancient Majus Bride? And then, you know, MAPPA also got Attack on Titan and yada yada. He's like, it was planning problems. This is kind of what he told me, like on his part, like the scheduling issues. And it had to do with DVD sales and then waiting for so many DVD sales to know that something was successful before greenlighting a next season. And then all the studios have stuff booked. So then you have to wait. And it kind of like dominoes like that. Nowadays, they don't have to wait on DVD sales as much because they have streaming numbers. So you can get things greenlit sooner and get follow-up stuff on the work docket sooner in most cases. So that might have been what happened with Blue Exorcist. Like, they were waiting on the DVD sales and stuff, and then all the studios were booked up, and then it takes a couple years to, like, go from planning to production to airing. Like, I say a couple years, but from what I've heard, it's like, can be, like, 4 or 5. So that might explain what happened in Blue Exorcist's case. Could be other things. Speculative, informed speculation, I guess, is what I'll call that. So... anyway, the last one we have coming out of Jump Festa, a surprise to absolutely nobody, is Spy Family's getting a second season and a movie.
What?
Not a surprise. Dude, everyone loves Spy Family. That would be stupid of them not to.
Right. Yeah, Spy Family's been really successful. We've got a cute little image that was released to announce the movie of... I just like that Lloyd is flying a little airplane and Anya's got a... bag of popcorn and you're sitting in the back with Bond. Yeah, super cute. But yeah, go ahead.
Was Spy Family the one where the author was like, yeah, I pitched it to Shonen, and on the pitch alone they're like, yes, make this a series immediately. I seem to remember that being an anecdote or something.
I cannot confirm or deny whether that's true, because I'm not sure.
That wouldn't surprise me, though, because it plays so much into nostalgia. You know what I mean? Like, it definitely has this, like, kind of, like, Studio Ghibli vibe. Don't even get me
started. For everyone listening, Jackie sang it correctly, all right? This is, like, I'm only going to do this once, okay? Yes, the Italian word is Ghibli. But Miyazaki apparently did not care that it's supposed to be Ghibli, even though he's an airplane fanatic. He pronounces it Ghibli. Ghibli and Ghibli are written different in katakana in Japanese. They have both sounds in the Japanese language. If he wanted to say Ghibli, he could, but he doesn't. It's Ghibli. All the translators at official events translate it as Ghibli. Yes, it's not the correct pronunciation of the Italian word. Just consider it the Italian word, like, inspiration for Miyazaki, and that he decided, I don't know, to continue running with his mispronunciation for the last 30, 40, 50 years of his life. It's Ghibli.
Guys, we already talked about...
I will fight you about this.
Well, and we already talked about Miyazaki's infamous refusal to love his own son. Do you think he's going to give a crap about what the Italians think of how he pronounces their words. No.
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 So, the reason why I bring this up is because all of our Studio Ghibli videos have done well, and it's literally because everyone in the comments starts screaming at me about the pronunciation. It's not even that they care about the Studio Ghibli news or the Studio Ghibli list or the Studio Ghibli teaser. They don't care. They just get upset with the way I say Studio Ghibli, and it's like literally hilarious because we posted multiple videos, and I'm like, okay, well, they won't be upset this time, and they get upset again.
You know what? Fly to Japan, all of y'all. Knock on the door of Studio Ghibli and tell Miyazaki to his face that he is wrong and that he's pronouncing the word wrong. I find out. That's all.
I would love to see what happened because he's a very nice person. I'm sure he'll react well to that. So yeah,
I feel like at some point, unless someone has to have told him, there's no way he doesn't know. Like, there's no way that everyone has just assumed that he knows and doesn't tell him, like, and have kept him ignorant this entire time. There's no way he doesn't know that no one has come up to him and been like, hey, Miyazaki, just so you know, like, it's supposed to be Ghibli. And he didn't, you know, someone has to have done that. Either, like, a journalist who didn't know better. And
like Harvey Weinstein at some, like, social event. Hey, you know it's supposed to be pronounced Ghibli, huh? And then Miyazaki just stares deep into his fetid, rotting soul. And
oh, God.
Gets his director's cut of a screen of Princess Mononoke. Okay.
And by the way, that whole Theo, you're right.
It is pronounced GIF. So good on you, sir.
It's GIF for that, but.
No, it's GIF.
I don't even know anymore. I used to say one way, now I say it the other way. And then everyone tells me I'm wrong all the time. So I'm just like, I don't know. I give up.
Flip a coin each day, you know.
I said GIF, then I went to GIF, and then everyone was like, no, it's GIF, and like, I'm like, I'm done.
GIF is peanut butter, and GIF is an image, but, you know, that's just...
Agreed. That's but just apparently, internet, but, please weigh in, because I don't know.
Don't, anymore. Actually.
Please don't, actually.
We don't care. Okay, so moving on. Yeah, we don't have a release date for the Spy Family movie or second season. They're just, nope. Actually, I lied. We do. Those are both supposed to come out 2023. So the second season and the film will come out next year. And the film will be an all original work. So it won't be based on a story in the manga. It's going to be completely unique. But creator Tatsuya Endo is credited with the original work and character design. So obviously he's having input in it. So looking forward to that. I've enjoyed Spy Family in what is otherwise a hugely packed season. Anya makes my each week better. So
she does.
Yeah.
She does.
Yay, Spy Family.
Yeah. All right. That's the news.
Anya of our trio for sure.
You are the Anya. I don't think I'm your. I'm probably more of the Fiona of the crew.
I'll be the Borf dog.
You can you can be Bond.
Bond, James.
Borf. He's a good boy.
Bond, right? That's the name of the dog, right?
Yeah, like James Bond. Bond, yeah.
Yeah, or
Bond
that Man. Dog is dope. That's one of the best anime dogs of all time. Truly. Ew, I don't like talking about anime dogs. What? I just got sad.
Oh, why?
I don't know.
Full Metal Alchemist. It's just like,
oh, okay. Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't really a dog at the end of things. That was, you know.
God, James.
I don't even know why I said it.
I'm just all right. All right. Yeah.
Nina, rest in peace.
Yeah.
I'm sad now. Let's go to another story.
Yeah. Why did I all even right. bring up? We're actually done with the news. So we're going to get right into Chainsaw Man. And my new, actually, there are so many good devils this week.
Sure.
Hold on. Let me see.
Spider Girl
was really good. I asked the chat, but if you missed the question, would love to know your guys' favorite devil/fiend that appears in this episode, because there's a whole bunch of them. And I don't know if I can pick, actually. I really do like Spider-Girl, but I also really like Future Devil because he's funny. I think he's funny. James, you want to talk about the scene for us here?
Well, you can't capture it in motion, but I just love that at the beginning, he's just doing his Mirai Psycho.
Yeah.
the future
this
awesome
image, he looks terrifying. Okay. But when he moves and talks, he's like hilarious.
Yeah. I'd like to us all to do our best future devil dance, which is, as far as I can tell, is just this. Come on, Jackie.
I know, Augie sticks his head inside of this creature. Yeah. And literally he's just like, do. I was like, who makes this up? Who Dasuke makes Fujimoto. This up?
Dasuke Fujimoto makes it up. Yeah.
It's genius. Let's just all say right now, it's genius. So.
Well, this dude's just, I mean, this dude's just full of, he's just full of bits, right? Like when he makes his contract with Aki, who is not dealing with any of this nonsense. Aki's expecting some sort of horrible price, right? Because the last couple of people that needed to make a deal, like one of them had to give up like his eyes and arms or something. And Future Devil's like, nah, I'll just live in your eye. I'll just hang out with you. That's all I need.
And he's like, because
your death in the future. It's gonna fucking rule.
I love that he's like, what do you call it? He's like, do you want to know how you die? And then Aki's like, no, I don't care.
No, just shut up.
I don't care. To be honest, I think I might do the same thing though. Like, I don't want to know.
Yeah.
All the time, I'd be like, oh, this is about to happen. You know?
Like, yeah, yeah. Like constantly looking over your shoulder, trying to
predict. Yeah, it. I was like, I did like how he was just like so Aki about it. He's like, no, I don't care.
Yeah.
Well, and like because of the cursed devil, he knows he's gonna die horribly in 2 years. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
He already knows. This guy, right?
Aki, because of the cursed devil, which he's not using that sword anymore in this episode.
Yeah, so he's still okay. Hold on, Aki's demon trajectory. He was with the fox, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And the fox left him.
Right.
Yeah.
And what was the payment for the fox?
I don't think the fox requires a lot of payment because they said
they said the fox liked hot guys.
Did they say that?
Yeah, they said that the fox only paired up with boys that it thought was were hot.
Are you joking me?
Yeah.
That was
vaguely
familiar. Well, there you go.
And it wants to eat things, but
yeah. But it ditched him because it didn't like the last thing he made him eat, which was the katana guy. So he was like, so it bounced. It was like, no, that was gross, and I don't like you anymore. And then he has the contract with the curse devil, which is the one that had that nail sword, and we saw it briefly in the hospital. He asks it how long he has left to live, because every time he uses the sword, it takes years off of his life, and it told him you only have two. So he's stopped using it, probably because it'll kill him. And so that's why he's making this new one with the future devil, and it goes into his eye, and doesn't really require any payment. It just wants to be there when Aki dies because it's going to be really cool. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not here for Aki dying, but I'm here to see whatever it looks like.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah.
If your death is going to be cool, it's probably going to suck.
Yeah.
That's what I thought too.
About how you're going to die, I don't think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Sadness.
Why is this not? I'm trying to hotkey, and it's not hotkeying for me. Oh, it's a zero, not an O. Okay, I'll get it next time.
Our training arc going.
Yeah.
Crap kicked out of him.
We noticed that one of them got a hit on him somewhere because teacher sensei is bleeding a little bit on his face. Like they managed to scratch him this time. I've also been thinking, how many sets of clothes do you think they've gone through during this training exercise? So many pairs of slacks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This training arc has been absolutely comical to say the least, but
yeah. I was kind of glad it wrapped up though, because it was actually
it wasn't
the most interesting part of everything that was going on. Teo in the comments points out that Aki's new sword is a special katana that can harm the ghost devil that was made by the angel devil. That doesn't get explained in this episode, the katana at all. I don't know if they'll explain it in the next episode or if that's something they just kind of glazed over to move things along, because a lot of things happen real quickly in this episode. So we cover a lot of ground going from here to basically descending on Katana Man and his Yakuza lackeys. So I don't think that was confirmed previously. I mean, we knew that the Katana Man had a relationship with the Yakuza via his grandfather being in it, but I didn't know immediately that also meant he was involved with the mafia. But yeah. We now know from this episode that he definitely is.
Did so, you really explain why there are so many guys?
I don't know. I mean, they could have just been weirdos. Looked,
he's like straight. He's Yakuza dude all yeah. the way. I didn't even think for a second he wasn't. I was like, yeah. Oh, this guy's in the Yakuza. Even like the what he transforms into, Katana Man, right? Is that what?
Yeah, yeah. Well, they call him Samurai Sword in this, which is what they're literally saying in English.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. I think it's Katana Man or something in the manga, or maybe not ever directly named in the manga. I don't know. So, yeah, he's referred to as Samurai Sword now, so I guess we should call him that. But
anyway. Which is funny because they're saying, like you said, they're saying Samurai Sword in English.
Yeah.
Which is...
which is a katana? Yeah.
Yeah.
So they don't ever say katana. They say Samurai Sword. So,
yeah.
Yeah. This was just funny to me. Yeah.
I love their friendship.
We did it.
I was
they're cute.
I was reminded last week when they had their little hammer thing. It reminds me of in Mad Max Fury Road when Max and Furiosa, like, they get to the point where they don't even need to like tell each other what they're gonna do. Like, you know, Furiosa just grabs a gun and Max is like, all right, you can just shoot it off my shoulder. That's like one of my favorite like tropes is when you can see these characters just like click in a way where it doesn't have to explain it. You just like see that they're besties.
Yeah. Yeah. They're inseparable at this point. They're just two of a kind. So, we learned that they're going to roll out the new combined Division 4. They're all going to descend on this. It looks like a hotel, but it's not the same hotel that we saw in when they were facing off the Eternity Devil. And Denji's still an idiot.
Yep.
He still thinks he's going to get to hook up with...
But now he wants to hook up with someone that he likes.
Yes.
So, like, that's, you know, like, that's growth. That's character development.
Yeah.
He wants to touch a specific pair of boobs.
Yeah. I wanted to know what you guys thought about this scene in particular when we see Sensei meet up with Makima in what looks like a traditional Japanese ryokan or restaurant, which makes me crave sushi. And he finally confronts her about what was already hinted at, that like she knew that this massacre was going to happen and she just allowed it to happen. And Makima actually tries to defend herself a little, like her position anyway, but he basically just says she's full of shit. So
they don't like each other, which is fine. I don't know if anyone really likes Makima, you know what I mean? But I do think like he knows she's extremely powerful, he can't do anything to hurt her, you know. But I think I like that I respected him for being like, yeah, I know you're up to no good, and don't think I'm like just sitting here and stupid as shit, like, and I'm not do anything about it, but like I'm not dumb either, you know. But it just sucks because she's like super powerful and it's like
terrifying.
What do you do? Yeah, she's scary. Like there's only a few villains in my life where they come on screen and I get like literally chilled to my core, and all I can think of is No Country for Old Men,
right?
Javier Bardem, like when he did the like coin flip thing, that literally
he
like
does have Anton Chigurh vibes. That's a really good
does have a similar vibe as him. That's actually pretty spot
like,
on.
It was just like they're so unpredictable and so just such a lack of empathy,
like methodical just, in the way that
so. And then the only other time I got like very scared seeing a villain on screen was Heath Ledger's Joker, who I thought was very similar to, but a little bit more like not as calm as those two, but like, you know, just so, you know, just a liar and just so unhinged, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like kind of crazy that Makima is like that powerful, and in my opinion that like I think it was like when she walked off the subway or whatever and she was just like, there's been a shooting or something, you know, and just like got off. And then you just see these like mutilated corpses. And I was just like, okay, she's crazy.
Yeah,
exactly. But I did like the scene. Cause it's like, I don't know. I would hope that I'd be as badass as this guy and just be like, I don't fucking like you.
Yeah.
I can do shit about it, but I know you're up to no good. Well, you know what I mean?
Given the fact that she can apparently just melt people's brains, by looking at them.
Yeah.
The fact that he's willing to just straight up be like, no, screw you, you're lying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that, I think that also speaks to like their dynamic. The fact that he, I guess, relatively trusts that he won't get exploded from the inside.
Yeah. Like that's a good point. Because if you think back to their other interactions that we've seen from previous episodes, like I think I said when they met in the graveyard and she first introduced Denji and Power to him, and I commented, I was like, he was kind of rude to her.
Like, he's like, shut up.
He's like, shut up. Just, and yeah. It's the same sort of thing. Whenever we see them interact, you can tell, like, I think he loathes her, to be honest. And maybe she just accepts that about him. Maybe there's some mutual respect about their abilities or something. Cause yeah, she hasn't just straight up taken him out, but it's not like she takes out anyone who just annoys her. I think it has to be strategic for her. She's only going to start killing people if she can justify it for the greater mission of some kind. Mm. And so if she was just like willy-nilly killing off her subordinates all the time, that would be a problem. And he points that out. He was like, the only reason, as long as it's for the good of mankind or humankind, you can do what you want, but only under that condition. And I also thought that is something, people should hold on to that statement, I think, because I think it's worded that way for a very specific reason. I can't get into it too much because I know things. And so I don't want to like do spoilers here, but there's a particular reason. I feel like that if you go back to how that line was worded, that he phrased it that way to her. James, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Right? I don't even think we need to get into like any spoiler territory, because later on in the episode, she has that whole confrontation with the mob boss who's like, you ever heard of necessary evil little girl?
Yeah.
And she basically says, don't you fucking talk to me about necessary evil.
Like, yeah.
You don't understand what a necessary evil is. And it's like, okay, well, says the lady with the bag
full was scared of
children's eyes.
Yeah. This was probably, as far as like mood, my favorite scene in the episode was her with the Yakuza guys saying like, you need to give me the names and not just yours, like the other mob families as well. You need to give me a list of names. So I can explode them, as we've seen her capable of doing so. And at first it is like a cordial relationship. And the fact that she even knows where to go and to meet with these guys makes me think that she's probably done some tit for tat with the Yakuza before when it was, you know, favorable to do so. And that's when we also find out that Sawatari, the snake lady, is the one who's been facilitating contracts between Yakuza members and the Gun Devil. And I thought this contract was kind of funny, actually. Like, you see these people who like make contracts with devils and they get, you know, ghost arms or like a sword that just kills people, or the ability to see in the future. The Gun Devil, you give him money and he spits out guns for you. So, I mean,
I guess it's a funny joke about, you know, in Japan, accessing a gun really is difficult enough that to get guns that easy, unlike other countries, is basically a supernatural power.
Yeah.
And not like a Thursday trip to a Walmart. But,
God, I hate that so much.
I know. It's like no words.
Yeah. You said 20,000 yen. What is that? Is that like $2,000?
It's $200. It's really cheap. Oh,
yeah.
Cheap.
Okay. Yeah. So literally like an afternoon trip to a Walmart.
I don't know like what that would be in like late 90s money, like as far as like the exchange rate and stuff like that. But yeah, it's still like $200, which is cheap. So that seems to be like his whole Gun Devil's whole.
$380 US. So that's not even, it's still not that much.
No, especially if you're the mob and you've got a whole underground gambling ring and all these other, you know, other things coming in, but you just want like an easy way to get access to firearms, then pay a demon, a devil from actual God. Anyway. Yeah.
So you said this was one of your favorite scenes.
Yeah.
My favorite scene was probably all the fiends coming.
Yeah, I do want to get to that because that was way fun and it introduced a whole bunch of really great character designs. I just wanted to talk about the fact that Makima has a bag full of eyeballs. So let's look at her and she's just so happy to tell everyone that someone, her people who work for her, just went and gouged out the eyes of their family, friends, wives, lovers, and they've got them all in a bag. And if you want us to put their eyeballs back in, you're going to give me that list of names. And it's just like, it's
she
dark.
Came with the eyeballs.
She came with them.
She got
How
the
did she
eyeballs.
Give them the eyeballs back?
Apparently, someone, she's saying someone in the division probably has a contract with some kind of demon that gives them some kind of power that would allow them to put an eyeball back in or attach the body parts or something. Devil. You know, what's that?
The melon baller devil.
Melon baller? That's so gross, James.
I don't know. I mean, they're like super intact. Ew. I don't know what else that they're
James,
doing.
What the?
I think I was thinking more like, surgery devil. A lot of people are like scared of surgery. Like you could have a devil whose only thing is surgery, you know? Like they're just based on anxiety.
Melon baller scooping out an eye with, that is literally one of the most horrific. I can't get this image out of my head.
Sorry.
James just goes, sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Now to the fiends.
Yeah. So yep, he looks in the bag, it's eyeballs. That look is that's how you die. So anyway, yes, getting to the assault on the hotel where everyone's been holing up at. We've just got, you know, Denji, Power, Kobani. Denji is super motivated because he's gotten, you know, trained by his sensei.
Moderately stronger.
Kobani hates everything. Power and Denji are having a good time.
You know what I was thinking when I saw this? So, what? I mean, we're so used to, like, Motley Crue's, right?
Right.
Like, the, you know, the Sailor Scouts all have their own personality. And we got Voltron and, like, you know, this is just a thing, right?
Yeah.
But I
yeah.
was like, these three personalities are so strange together.
Yeah.
They're just so strange. Like, Power is just, like, so unhinged, but, like, you know, an old person. And
yeah.
young girl's body, and then like Denji's just like this pervy young guy, and then I forgot the name of the brown haired girl, but she's just so sweet and timid, but also like to the point where it kind of annoys you. And they're all, and this was the underlying theme for all three of them, is that they all annoy me. Like it was like all three, just looking at them, I was like, God, they're all annoying. Like, you know what I mean? And I just like imagine being their boss. Just being
yeah, like, anyone that's ever my had crew. To work, right? Sorry, oh my God. Well, anyone that's ever had to work an office job knows that, you know, even when you find your circle of like teammates that you're doing your projects with, there's always the one that's, they're just kind of a bummer. And that's okay. You need that energy sometimes.
They all strangely fit, but I was just like, I think it like cut to Aki and I was like, just imagine Aki's like looking at these three and he's just like, and he's so perfect, right? Like he's so like
2 years.
Collected and refined and he looks good. He's just so perfect. And then this is his crew. You know what I mean? Like it's just
well, you notice in the scene too, he doesn't even approach and talk to them. He like walks past them and he goes to to sensei and he's just like, so what's the plan? Because he knows he can't talk to them about it. They don't know.
No.
They're not helpful. All they do is they're eat not. His food and live in his house. So
yeah,
and I guess put shit on his face according to the
oh god yeah
they're
yeah.
just such a strange crew and I just love it so much. But this talking about strange crews,
yeah,
I mean, I'm okay, so yeah, break it down and I want to give my thoughts at
so
the
this
end.
Is Shark Devil. His creation is probably directly tied to Steven Spielberg's release of Jaws. And if that movie had never been made, maybe there would be no Shark Devil. But everyone knows people got way more scared of sharks after that movie came out. His deal is that he can swim through any surface. So floors, ceilings, whatever, doesn't matter. He can swim through it. And then sharks are known to do. And every once in a while, he can, for a limited time, transform into this horrid looking shark demon and just start eating everything's face.
Its so eyes are so awful. Much. It has the worst eyes.
The proportions like, make no sense. I don't want to think about them too hard. And he's down here with the rest of the fiends we're about to meet because I guess the Yakuza still have a deal going on with the zombie devil, just like Katana Man, Samurai Sword Guy's grandpa. So the bottom level here is filled with zombies. We don't see the zombie devil at this point. But there's just a mass of zombies, and they're all poor folks who didn't pay their debts to the organized crime syndicate.
I'm assuming that before his idiot grandfather turned himself into a zombie, he must have made a whole bunch of zombies that he just like tucked away for later.
Yeah.
That was kind of my thinking, that they've just been hanging out for however long just has passed.
Just all and also zombies, just like in traditional fiction, if they bite you, they create more. So like the zombie devil doesn't have to like outright turn you into a zombie. Already existing zombies can make you a zombie as well. So yeah. So we meet a shark fiend here, and then we also meet Violence Fiend, who
I like. Violence Fiend, he moves, he can move.
Yeah,
he's got moves.
Yeah,
looked like he was breakdancing. It was bringing it back to, like, Mugen versus Samurai Champloo. Like, he was just like, sure. I was like, okay,
yeah, yeah.
I liked him. Yeah. I don't understand why he's wearing the mask. Like, I understand they said that he's like poison or that I don't know. Actually, I was
gassed. He's getting gassed constantly with that mask.
Yeah, like, he's so powerful that they are constantly feeding him gas to keep him under control.
Wow.
Yeah, because you have to think Violence, as far as like a devil you could make a contract with or something, is going to be really high up there on the fear level. Because Makima explained earlier in the series, you know, depending on how much people fear something, its power levels akin to that. And the example she used was like, if there was a coffee devil, it wouldn't be very strong. People aren't really scared of coffee. So, I mean, violence, like as a general concept, is really scary to most people. Most people are afraid of violence. So you get Violence Fiend here. It's just to keep him from going out of control. I don't know how they're feeding him.
I bet he's super handsome.
You think so?
Well, it's like Inosuke from Demon Slayer. Like, it's like you're like, oh, what's underneath the mask? And then it's like this like pretty boy.
So. Yeah. Theo's pointing out there is a fan theory that this is Arai. That, so if you remember, Arai was the guy who took a bullet for Kobeni.
Oh, sure.
So, I mean, theoretically, any dead body.
Yeah, I guess they haven't really explained like how you like fuse a devil to a body, or like how that process.
Yeah, goes about, if it's so. Just like something that a devil does on its own, which is kind of the impression I had with Power. I just thought a blood devil was out and about, found a dead girl, and like got like, cool. Because she was living all feral and everything. But I guess theoretically, they could make fiends. They've got a whole bunch of devils in freaking jail cells in a basement, so they could put a dead body in one of them and hope they fuse. I don't know.
Yeah. So it's like fiends are demons that fuse with dead bodies, and then you have like hybrids like Denji. Makima is probably a hybrid. And then Aki is like a human, but he made a deal with the demon, and so he still has his wherewithal.
Yeah, he just has contracts.
Yeah, they just have a contract, yeah.
So, Power, that girl was, like you said, just dead.
It was a dead body, yeah.
The demon just took it. So with Violence, you think it's probably was a dead body?
Yeah, all of these ones that we're seeing here, Violence, Shark, Spider, Angel, I believe, are all fiends.
I think they call Angel Devil.
Okay, maybe Angel is a devil then. Devil. Yeah, because Angel is supposed to be amicable towards humans anyway.
Yeah.
So I think that one is just... And also, now that I think about it, Spider might not be... Spider's just a devil as well. That's not a fiend. That's just a devil. Because they say the ones that usually have some kind of humanoid form are usually nicer to actual humans. So I think Spider and Angel are both devils, and we're like, hey, this, we'll work with you guys. Just,
I wonder if that's a play on like,
and they didn't.
Like, spiders aren't actually like,
yeah, there's no contract, and there's
cute,
no
James. That's cute, because spiders aren't really harmful, actually.
Yeah, they're like, they still
scare the out of me though. But anyway, moving on.
I mean, I don't like spiders. I'll squish them, but it's.
Oh, would you squish her?
I
want
to cosplay this girl. I don't know how, but
yes,
that's the same thing I said to Jane.
In my home, yes, yeah. I would immediately beat her to death.
Oh no, no!
She looks cute and sad.
Yeah,
she looks so sad. Yeah. I felt for her.
Yeah,
I'd be scared shitless, but I'd be like, whoa, she's been through.
I'd be like, you can live in my garage with the other spiders, you know?
Yeah. She's badass though. She was just like
the size of a car.
She was just like using her legs as freaking like to spear people and stuff.
Yeah, it was really cool. I really like seeing all of them in action. Even the shark boy, who was super annoying, but he looked cool.
It's funny that he's annoying because I think he has like three lines, maybe. Is it just like a vibe?
You just knew he's going to be annoying. He's going to just be like some young, like rambunctious boy. That was it. He was just like, ha ha. And I was like, oh gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Violence actually, I felt like had a decent personality, actually, the violent one. Yeah. And I liked Spider Girl. This guy. Or girl, I'm not quite sure. It might be a they.
Yeah.
They're very, it is a guy. Okay. Mm-hmm. He was like, he took a bite out of fucking zombie head. I was like, you're questionable.
I was surprised that MAPPA actually did us the favor of cutting the camera away during the bite. I thought they were going to make us actually like close up, see him take the fleshy bite. But as he goes to bite down, like the camera cuts to this further away shot, so it could have been
worse. They already got the close-up on the scooped out eyeball, so I feel like they're trying to like play it safe with the sensors. Like, we've been pushing it the past few weeks, maybe we should
pull back a little bit. I just want to with chat real quick. Shiny Mewtwo says that Shark Fiend is goated. Shark Fiend does have a name. Theo's been dropping the actual names, but those weren't revealed in this episode yet. But Shark Fiend's name is Beam, like laser beam. And Alps987 is a big fan of Angel Devil here. Says, here comes the boy.
Shark Boy's name was Taylor Lautner.
Shut up, James. I know what that was, okay? Okay, we don't have any lava girls in this show. All right.
Lava devil, come on. Lava's scary.
Volcano devil could very well be a thing. Sure.
Yeah.
We gotta talk about Akiba Maid War though.
Yes, like, yeah. So this is like we see all this. All right. And then I thought it was particularly
by the cool. way, this is what's her name's
Himeno's.
Yeah,
Himeno's she was devil. Inside Snake the whole time. And
she
then
spit it out.
And then apparently Snake spits it out, and now she listens to Sabatari, which I'm not sure how that works. Maybe it's just because Himeno is dead. But I thought it was particularly mean that they made Aki.
I agree.
Fight but Himeno's.
This fight scene was my favorite part.
Yeah.
This fight scene was my, like, you were like, oh, I like the scene with Makima, which I get. Like, that was like Makima at her finest.
Yeah.
But this. The movement, the animation, just like this was a winner. This is why we watch anime, people.
Yeah.
This is why we watch anime. Like, it was so beautiful and creative and fast paced and, you
really
know, innovative.
Like
everything.
Sword. Like, it felt really weighty.
Yeah, it did. I watched the fight scene twice because once I watched it and then the second time to get screen caps. And just Aki's movements during that entire part are really good. You can like feel his resistance when he's got the sword at weird angles. He's trying to cut into it. You know, he's just like fighting for his life here.
You don't usually see that.
Yeah.
The swords are like, people forget that swords are like, they're big.
Yeah.
They're not easy to wield. Like they're
put the pressure up higher. You're going to, you know, be, pulling back.
It was exceptional. Shiny Mewtwo said, I had tears in my eyes during this fight. It was so well done. I'm not going to lie. When the ghost devil came up, I was like, you know what I mean? Like, I was just like, oh no. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's just like so hard.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it ended on it. It was kind of sad.
Yeah.
But you know what? Everyone learned, if Promised Neverland season 2 was awful, but if there's anything we can thank the Promised Neverland
for, season 2 of Promised Neverland.
Okay. If there's anything we can thank the Promised Neverland for, is that it taught all anime end on a cliffhanger.
Yeah,
that is
and on a first season that is excellent and never gets a follow-up, because to try to conclude that entire story in a single second season would be one of the dumbest trash fire mistakes imaginable.
Yes.
So,
but the good takeaway is that I think many anime have learned is end on something that keeps it hanging. And this was good. So,
and we got another great ending theme.
Yes. And if we want to, and talking about great endings, Akiba Maid War, but we'll get to that towards the end of it. But woohoo!
Yeah, and next week is the last episode of Chainsaw Man, guys.
I know, that's wild.
Yeah.
Where did the season go?
I'm like, So I'm expecting a lot of samurai sword fighting chainsaw again, and hopefully, you know, hopefully Denji wins, right? So
it's gonna be great.
Yay.
Yeah, it's gonna be some good stuff. All right. Yes. Always up to the final minute. Let's go over, like we always do, to talk about Akiba Maid War. Because this episode broke my heart. It made me so sad.
Dude, this was a good episode.
Not even fair.
Great episode.
Not even good. So, James, I'm going to power through this while you talk about what happened in this week's Akiba Maid War.
So everything is going great. They're making cash. They're making names. Then Panda gets executed and their body's strung up on a sign. But surprise, Panda's not actually dead. It's just their hollowed out costume corpse. But they do get a message from Creature Land saying that they are screwed and dead to dead. And they're going to die. And everything is bad. And manager doesn't want to admit it, but they all know that things are going to go horribly. And it's specifically because, as Renko reveals, she and the leader of Creature Land have beef. And that in order to squash the beef, Renko has to take on the Creature Land group, or else she's going to keep getting age shamed.
Oh, yeah, pause. This is rude and mean. All right. So she's 36. She's not 40.
And
even if she was 40, like, she'd be hot as hell. So, like,
I mean,
also true. Like, yeah. I'm like, she looks great, and like, she's still gonna look great at 40. This kind of pissed me off because twice they made this comment because someone called her a 40-year-old when they went into the Oinky Doink Cafe too, and I was just like, don't like you.
Women don't stop existing once they turn 30, okay? And we don't stop being hot either. So
also true.
Yeah, it turns out the more life experience and the more, like, you know, wherewithal that people develop as they get older, it tends to make them more attractive. That's something that you children will discover when you also hit your 30s.
Because it'll happen to you too.
Well, yes.
All right.
But, and then this guy, I missed this the first time I saw this episode.
Yeah.
When it mentioned the body that got dredged up, I thought it was talking about
her fiance. That's who I thought it was too. And they're like, no.
It was the red shirt.
Yeah.
It was the red shirt fanboy who got murdered for supporting the Monkey Dork.
Yeah.
So they have no one. They have no more fans, no more masters.
Yeah.
The lions and bears and whatever come in and start causing trouble because
harassing their customers
with animal puns.
And they called her 40, and one of them called her 40, and I was not happy about it.
Yeah.
By the way, this was dope. I love this 1960s flashback. And it's crazy because, like, Rongo and I forgot her name. I know it ends with a KO too.
Ozuko.
You know, like, they are in their mid-30s, and it's kind of funny. Like, let's just keep on talking about being in mid-30s. But I was like, you know, they're still hot. And, like, you know, women in their mid-30s, still hot. But I was like, how are they going to make them look different, you know, when they're younger? And it's so funny, but they somehow did make them just look like, you know, younger. And I was like, thinking about myself, I'm 35, everybody. And I was like, it is kind of funny. As you get older, your face just gets like these – your cheekbones become more pronounced. I don't know. It's just like a different look, right? And it was it was very cute to see like them in their 20s. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just like they just have like this rounder, cuter face. And I was like, oh, baby Rongo.
It's a baby.
I'm getting emotional right now talking about it.
Yeah.
But I was just like, they're so cute. But I really like the flashback scene. I don't know if anybody else did, but I just thought, there they are.
I'm sorry, but like, tell me that 36-year-old Rongo isn't 1,000 times hotter.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's like the older, and I also think Uzuko was, you know what I mean? Like, they're cute here, right? But then it's just like, now Uzuko and Rongo are like hot.
Yeah.
Like, let's just be honest.
They're in their bad bitch phase.
They're in their bad bitch phase. I ain't gonna lie. But they're very, very cute here.
And I did love the little detail that Ronker's ketchup doodles like sucked right back.
Oh yeah,
like, all she could do was
that. But if you look at her omelet, like, there's no doodle. There's just ketchup across the front of it because she couldn't draw with the ketchup like she can now.
That's actually really cute.
That's funny.
That's a lot of ketchup for omelets. That omelet probably tasted like crap.
Jackie, I want to take this, but I want to write Lindsay and Jackie under it.
I know. Oh my gosh, don't. You're gonna make me cry.
But then you're gonna have.
By the way, Lindsay and I are both.
horrible
very
omen.
Friendly, but we also have like that Aries craziness and us and darkness, which both of them have this like,
yeah.
Uzuko's never nice.
If you guys get into like a bloody anime journalism like turf war, please don't make me choose.
That's not gonna happen. That's never gonna happen. I was like, I will just let Lindsay win that 100%. You do not just get into a word war.
Like,
with
I don't
Lindsay.
Know what to do.
Oh, my face hurts. Yeah.
So I'm like, they're adorable and I love this photo.
Yes.
And honestly, I know. And I think that it's like, it led up so much, like that little flashback, it just like really added gravity towards the final scene. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's just great writing. It was really good, but
it's economic storytelling. It gets across a lot of information in just a little
time. Exactly.
The manager still sucks, which is
good. Yeah. The manager sucks throughout this whole episode. Always like, sucks. She like, I mean, I don't know if there's a screen cap of it later. Like, she's almost gives up and is just gonna like off herself in front of everybody and leave them.
I did get a screen cap of her putting a gun in her mouth because that felt a little tasteless. Yeah, but it was also hilarious. And she's like, "All right, guys, we're out. I'm out of here. Like,
I'm out of here. Watch you die." Good run. And I like this part was so good. They're having their like heartfelt goodbye.
Yeah, that was funny.
The elevator just like shuts on her and she's like, ow. And that just
That was really good. That's a joke that one of the like storyboard artists has just had in their back pocket for like 10 years. And they're like, I'm gonna get this bowing in an elevator joke in. I don't care where it is, I don't care what show, I'm gonna get this gag in, and it's a perfect gag. So
we've seen them using this elevator a lot, like when Nagomi was in it with the panda and it was full of bamboo for no reason.
They had a whole gunfight by that elevator. Yeah. Elevator's seen a lot.
But in the end they all decide to arm up and they're gonna pull off a hostage situation to distract everyone so Ronko can, you know, go talk to Uzuko without her being overwhelmed by guards. I love that she had like a seaweed mask.
By the way, she's also in her 30s. Like, you just can tell. You know what I mean? And she's also gorgeous and a baddie still. I kind of love how all of them are, like, so mean and cutthroat. And then, like, they have these, like, very manic moments. And it's like, this was hers. Like, it was just like, you're like,
whoa. I can't remember if it was on Reddit or Twitter, but someone pointed out that in this scene, all of the Oinky Doink maids, including Zaya. It's Zaya, right?
Zoya.
They're like trilling their R's and like putting on basically like super heavy
Yakuza like, accents.
Yakuza like, accents. Yeah. Like total.
Accents. They're all like, I liked this part too. Where do you have the next one? No. Okay. So where she's like, my horoscope sucked. I'm going to die. And then, man, I actually forget the pigtailed girl's name.
I do too. It's
fine. I forgot her name too.
Chio, right?
Something like that. Chiyoko? Anyway, she like turns to her and she's like, no, we're going to be fine. Call it feminine intuition. And she's like, all right, let's go with that. That was pretty cool. They thought they lured everybody out, but there's still enough various creature land maids to hold them up.
I love all their outfits. What a great show of all their outfits right there.
Yeah,
Ronko, this is just really a nice picture of Ronko.
You just put this in here because she looks good.
Well, I mean, I don't know if we're going to get any more. So I want to
And there's a
nice picture of Uzuko.
Yep.
Uzuko's a baddie too. Like, I mean, I know she's evil. She is evil. Yeah.
She's got like the multicolored like layers going on. You know?
How long do you think it takes her to get dressed every morning?
She's a queen. I know. That's an iconic outfit. She's a queen.
That corset is at least a 20 minute.
Is she an ostrich? Is that what she's supposed to be?
Oh, I never really thought of like the animal thing applied to her, but I see that, especially with the frilly, shoulder pads do look like the wings of an ostrich.
I think she is.
You cracked the code.
This was very emotional scene because I don't think Ronko's ever raised her voice, and her voice actress did a really good job. He's like, I felt the pain in Ronko's voice like this entire scene. Like, honestly, us talking about it, I just got the chills because it was like she was like that guttural screaming, which like I'm literally feeling it in my core right now. Like, just so desperately wanting to save them. Like, she really, like, for her to sell it and in Japanese to me as an English speaker, like, I was just like, Oh my gosh. Like I got emotional, like her begging for the whole conversation was emotional because it was like, Uzuko was like, you know, who pick me or her. And I was gosh, like, this is like your old best friend versus like this girl who has a future. And like, you've been watching after her, you know? And to be honest, like, I didn't think it was like far-fetched or like, you know, like this, you know, this is the Yakuza boss. She wants her to show her loyalty. You know what I mean? Like, it was like really good. Also stabbing her in the hand. I was like,
I know, you know, she got right between the tendons on that.
This is the part that made me cry a little bit is when she's like we had a birthday, like they threw me a birthday party.
Yeah.
Can draw ketchup doodles now. And she draws it in her own blood. Like,
okay, I'm going to, it was really cute. She was like, I do fun things with them. I go to the casino and we play baseball. I was just thinking about how demented both of those.
Like, yes, right.
All of those activities involved a lot of murder. But
they're just like such great moments, which I was just kind of like, oh, but yeah, I mean, this was a really good, really good episode. Yeah. Oh my God, this is so Cowboy Bebop.
Very much the shot. And this was after she decided not to kill herself and she was like reinvigorated with
Why is she the most annoying but also like great at the same time? Like, she literally pisses me off and then I'm also like, I like you still. I don't know what it is, but like,
she's so shameless.
Yeah,
she has absolutely no shame about her utter depravity.
Remember when she lived by eating out of the garbage for like a week?
She's absolutely
great with the fireflies joke.
She's unhinged, but for some reason I still love her too, so but sorry, continue.
Yeah,
I still love that lopping off a pigtail is still like being treated as the whole pinky severing thing.
It was like
even in this scene where knuckle.
People
are actively getting shot and stabbed and she's like, look, I'll do my part, I'll cut off a pigtail.
Totally ruined my Moe Moe Kyun aesthetic, but I'll do it, you know, as retribution.
Even the asymmetrical hairstyles are totally in, so.
Yeah.
No, not one pigtail, though. That ain't it. I think
she can make it work. She can make it work.
I don't know.
We can figure it out. This was just, you know, who's going to go? I mean, I didn't think she would kill, like, Ronko would. I never thought she would kill Nagomi. Like, that was not going to happen. Like, even for a minute, but just putting her up to it. And then
this is the scene that Jackie was talking about where she just broke and she's like, let me die.
Yeah.
If it means that Oinky Doink will live.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it's my home is what she says. And then when she says it's my home, she remember that makes Uzuko remember their old cafe together and how it was their home. Yeah. And they just look.
I'm getting emotional just looking at these screenshots.
Yeah.
Even though they're bad bitches now who wear purple lipstick, which fire girl.
This one also hit me where she's like, you're a grown 36-year-old and you're crying. And I admit, like, once I read that, like, I had like an internal thought. I was like, man, I cry about shit all the time.
Also, they're like these hard people who don't like aren't in touch with their emotions at all. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think that was like pretty interesting, like for her to see Ronko, who, let's be honest, Ronko's like the most unemotional, makes Uzuko look. I mean, we've seen Uzuko get mad at least, like Ronko doesn't even get mad. So I think it's just like, you know, like she's just so shook by that. You know what I mean?
Which is like the lighting in this screenshot too. Like we can tell, like they've put a lot of production effort into this show for what is two maids in pig ears begging for their cafe not to be closed.
The show is literally, it is one joke. And that joke is, what if we took Yakuza, the famous crime fiction franchise, and replaced all of the hot middle-aged men with hot middle and early 20s aged anime maids? That's the one joke. And it's a perfect joke. Every time.
So we're coming up on the conclusion of this episode, which is, you know, they think they're going to, Uzuko like takes some pity on them, says they've got to pay an exorbitant amount of money to make up for what they did, and they invite her to stop by the cafe.
This, you know, might be the line reading of the year, just the way
you're doing. His happy to serve as a home to all masters anytime, oink.
And the way that she just goes boo, like it's just like
boo.
So cute.
And I mean, we don't have a screenshot of it, but Uzuko basically says, like, I'd ever come by a pigsty. But, I mean, it was sort of like a olive branch kind of thing. Yeah. And then she's trying to pick out a gift for, they're trying to pick out gifts for each other. And then this bitch shanks her. And, you know, we don't see her face, but if you look at what she's wearing, she's, it's the, what's
oxycodal?
That? Creature? Yeah, it's an oxycodal maid. So weren't the oxycodal maids?
They used to be the aliens.
Yeah. Right, they used to be the aliens. There's also that offshoot group that I know.
I thought they were rabbit ears. Okay.
Yeah, it's an oxycodal for sure.
So it's probably... So this was either still put forth by Uzuko, because this was kind of her thing. She would send another maid to kill someone, and then the guy who was going to marry Ronko would show up and kill the killer, and that would kind of end it. Or this is just not related at all to Uzuko, and it's just still existing bad blood from wiping out her cafe, because that's kind of like the sad truth of when you're a crime maid, is that Ronko's killed a lot of people. Like, she's
so many people.
I mean, we love her, but she's like, she's killed a lot of people, wiped out a lot of maids. All of those maids had co-maids and whatnot that miss their dead friends. So just like Ronko maybe wanted to kill Panda or wanted to kill Uzuko at one point for offing one of her friends, there's a lot of people who hold Ronko responsible for what she did too.
Yeah.
Dude, this
live like a maid, die like a maid.
That scene though was intense. Like,
it was. Yeah.
That was hard to watch. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, did they like watch the life going out of her? And I just kept on being like, oh, it's gotta be a dream. It's gotta be a dream. There's no way. But then I was like, this is like way too real. Like, it was way too real. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, deep down, I hope that she's gonna wake up. I hope that she wakes up.
I know. Yeah. This, I mean, what made this scene hard to watch? Like, it happened in broad daylight. Like, they were just at like a street vendor or something. Nagomi's yelling for someone to call an ambulance. No one's wants to get involved, so no one does. Like, they just sort of like,
you live in Akihabara, you don't fuck with a maid. You just don't even go near them.
I mean, yeah, that's why I tried to think about it that way. Like, this is like, if this were two Yakuza on the street, maybe people would also not call an ambulance or something because they don't want to get involved with the Yakuza. So kind of, so then like Nagomi takes her little apron and like puts it on top of Ronko's apron to try and stop the bleeding. And it's just, Ronko's just talking about how she wanted to just be a good maid. It was really sad.
It was like, really sad.
Yeah.
And it was really hard. I don't know. I mean, it's definitely Uzuko, I think so.
Yeah. Okay. So you think, yeah.
I think it's Uzuko. Why?
God, I'm not staying on her death face. That's
too much for me.
Here's the question, though.
That was so real.
What's the question, James?
Do we want Nagomi to go on a full John Wick revenge tour?
Right.
Or do we want her to stay true to her values and choose the path of not murdering every last bitch in Akihabara?
Jackie? I was going to say, this reminds me of a great anime that I've brought up once or twice.
Are you going to talk about Berserk again?
I was going to talk about Gungrave. Gungrave and Berserk are the same concept. And it's basically, do you, you know, stick to your morals and become a good person, or do you fall into darkness? And that's exactly what we're getting set up for. So, like, I can't wait to see.
So, remember when Jackie said earlier that, like, she and I have secret dark energy? So, like, for me,
it's every time I bring up,
I hope Nagomi kills every motherfucker.
Me too. That's totally me. I'm like, Will it damn her to repeat the cycle of violence unto eternity? Sure. But also, every last one of those creature land freaks needs to be put 6 feet under right now. And they need to get oinky doinked all day and night. That's it.
Vengeance is sweet, guys.
You guys are terrible. Yeah. I definitely am in the camp. So, spoiler alert, you know, I know Gungrave is a passionate anime that many people have not watched, and I'm very disappointed that I have to do this to you. But in the end, Brandon forgives his best friend who betrayed him his entire life in like numerous ways. And I've always been someone who wants Griffith to forgive, or Guts to forgive Griffith, which I know everybody hates. But I like
that's a big
I know everybody hates it. So I feel like Kagome is going to like somehow get to Uzuko and forgive her. And it's going to be this like crazy emotional, like epic moment. And it's going to make all the, it's going to bring all the maids together.
Like maybe Nagomi will finally be able to appeal to Uzuko's emotion and get her to like, get back in touch with her maid heart.
It's like they're gonna have their Uzuko's life is gonna be in Kagome's hands, and Kagome's gonna let her live. And literally, Uzuko's gonna be like, "What the fuck?" and angry, just like Harry McDowell was at Brandon when Brandon gave him his life when he could have killed him. And it was like literally one of the most emotional scenes I've seen in my life. Go watch Gungrave. But I think that that's what they're Jackie. Let's not fight. It's almost Christmas. I know, believe me. Griffith is really tough, though, because Griffith is really bad. Because Griffith, like, took him all to hell, had all of his best friends attacked by demons. Like, that's a lot. I get it. But Harry McDowell, I'm not, guys, don't get me started. Don't get me started. We're just going to end on that. Kagome, I think, like, don't get me started on this Berserk and Gungrave. I just think Kagome is going to, she's going to find her way to get to Uzuko, and I think she's going to not kill Uzuko, and it's going to be like for Ronko, because she doesn't want this like terrible treacherous cycle to continue. And it's going to be
going to make her like a ketchup doodle omelet of forgiveness.
Be epic. But yeah, on that note,
well guys, we'll find out next week. Let me look at a calendar here. So as I said, on the 28th, we will have the after or the trailer party. We're going to be watching all the trailers for the January shows. That's at 5 p.m. Pacific on the 28th. And there's also the best of, which will be on the 30th at 6 p.m. I guess we'll also be here on the 27th, because otherwise
the Chainsaw Man finale
and to talk about the Akiba Maid War finale. So I'm doing three goddamn podcasts in a week. Merry Christmas to all of you. I hope you appreciate it. There you go.
Hey.
So thanks everybody for tuning in. That's it for the ANN After Show. I think when we come back next time, we might also have some shiny new graphics that I've commissioned. So expect a new intro video and outro video and all that good stuff. But until then, we'll see you soon. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.